Hi, my name's Julie Macken. Welcome to the 5 Minute Advocate. Living in Australia pre-COVID-19 was already hard for those living in poverty and the almost 97,000 asylum seekers living in the community. But it was possible. And it was possible because some folks were able to find work and the charities caring for everyone else were able to stretch far enough through fundraising and by deploying a small army of volunteers. But not anymore. Post-COVID-19, the charities are stretched to breaking point. The often elderly volunteers have had to stay home and the number of people needing support has grown by well over 200% since the end of March. Look, like the fires that preceded the pandemic, COVID-19 is revealing the bone structure of Australia's safety net, the weaknesses, the inequalities. All of that's being laid bare in a pretty brutal fashion. The sharp end of these revelations can be seen in the exponential rise in food insecurity and, frankly, hunger, and the casework notes that now routinely include references to hopelessness, self-harm, or suicide. This is not just terrible news for the poor, for asylum seekers, international students, migrant workers, all of whom are now in pretty dire circumstances. The charitable sector itself is really doing it tough. And this last line of support for thousands of vulnerable people is now confronting an unprecedented level of stress that some organisations may not survive. And seriously, if they go, they take a sizable chunk of the GDP and Australia's social safety net with them. The charitable sector, to give you some idea of what we're talking about, represents about 8% of Australia's GDP and employs over 1.3 million people directly. That's 10% of the workforce. A 2017 report into charities by Deloitte Access Economics found the economic contribution of these charities is well over $130 billion. Collectively, the sector is roughly equivalent in size to the Australian retail sector, education and training, or the public administration and safety sector. All of the above does not include the value of formal volunteering, which itself is estimated to contribute about $13 billion in wages. But for a sector that has as many people as the construction sector and more than all of manufacturing, it certainly has nothing like the political power of either manufacturing or construction. And that's no accident. In 2017, a thing called Civil Voices, which was an initiative by Pro Bono Australia and the Human Rights Law Centre, found civil society organisations were not only more cautious in their traditional role of advocating for those they served, they were also engaging what they called self-silencing, out of fear of losing government funding for their really critically needed services. The report found, quote, public debate in Australia is not as healthy as it ought to be in a developed liberal democracy. Further, many organisations report they engage in some form of self-silencing, treading carefully in their advocacy work lest they risk financial security and political retribution. The report concluded by saying the more the silencing of civil society is normalised, the higher the risk becomes to the overall quality of Australian democracy. So, at the very time non-citizens need charitable services to be screaming from the rooftops about their plight because they can't without risk of detention or deportation, the services themselves are acutely aware of their precarious relationship, particularly with the coalition government, and feel unable to publicly speak out for more support. Recently, David Crosbie, CEO of the Community Council for Australia, told the Saturday paper that he fears many organisations will be transformed into what he called zombie charities within a year or two. He said charities that exist but are no longer able to do their work. I think, this is David Crosbie, I think we're going to have thousands of zombie charities that have cut their programs, cut their staff, cut their services, cut their infrastructure, that they are just trying to hang on until they can rebuild, he said. Well, if these charities do fail, if they are unable to catch the poor, the asylum seekers who are falling through the chasm of government neglect, it's seriously going to cost taxpayers, setting aside the questions around equity and compassion. But perhaps there's a larger debate that we need to have, and that is, Should our social safety net be so reliant on charity in the first place? Surely we pay taxes for just this reason, to provide a publicly funded social safety net for all of us when we need it.